paper 29, which is on old single column, page 319. All right. So, as I was teasing at the end last session, we have three papers left here in part one, and they are a group of papers. You know, like I've been pointing out, the Revelation is divided at three hierarchical levels. You have the four parts, obviously. You have the papers, obviously. But there is a grouping in between. There are blocks of papers, sets of papers, groups of papers, you know, that are put consecutively for a reason. And this last set of three, when you first glance at the, you know, the titles of the papers, you might say, well, you know, what's, you know, the commonality there? It's pretty obvious of the block we've been, you know, we just finished, they're all the spirit origin beings, and that's pretty trivial to recognize. It's a block of papers on spirit origin beings. You have the very fact that there's three papers left, you know, you when you obviously get to the end of the spirit origin, you know, there's three papers left. I wonder if three is, you know, like the three that we are always running into. There's a relationship and a super additive consequence. Is it that kind of a three? So if you pause and then reflect a little bit, so you have a first paper, we're going to start tonight on the universe, power directors, and then you remember paper 30, is that one with all those vast lists of the beings, and then the paper 31 is one where they tell you about finaliters. What's the pattern there? Think about those first two. So obviously power, what's power? Power is purposed energy. Right? Okay. Not just matter, you know, I mean, yeah, matter, but, you know, to think of it philosophically, because that's what you're looking for to appreciate what the threefold pattern would be. You know, it isn't something sort of obvious like matter, mind, spirit or something like that. So you have power. So you start with energy, and that energy is purposed. You know, it's you're bringing energy up from force into power, from a potentiality to an actuality into a reality. Patterned energy, purposed energy. And then, so you get energy drawn up and in action, in purposed, and where does it find itself? It finds itself in the midst of a vast, precise structure of order. That next paper is about order. That reaching down from above, I mean, most fundamentally, you have the functioning of deity, but it's giving rise to this whole elaborate system of beings that we've been reading details about up to this point. And they're about to summarize them in that paper in a way that gets you to really appreciate a very basic fact in play there. There's an order, a very definitive order. Everything is very precisely managed and has a place. So what's going to happen, do you think? If you have the origin of purposed energy, material, like it could be a material identity for me, and then I find myself in the midst of a vast ministry of order, what am I going to be able to do then? As a super additive consequence, as a relationship between that upwelling power and that downreach and establishment of order, I'm going to be able to ascend. So these three papers are power, order, ascension. What is the fifth epical revelation about? The ascension scheme. It's all they're really allowed to reveal, is that which has, you know, some immediacy of a relationship to the ascension scheme. So you think about this first part. How are they summing it all up? They're saying when all is said and done, you can ascend. You can ascend all the way to perfection and become a finaliter. That's the bottom line, the last paper, your ascension. And how fundamentally does that come about? Is a super additive consequence of the relationship between power being drawn up, energy being drawn up into purposed action, and order coming down to engage it and foster it and give it a pathway up. And the super additive consequence is literally that, your upward arrow, your ascension. So that's what we're going to be doing. So now finally, we're going to get into a little bit more detail about that energy part of the picture. And as we see, as we start reading, the first thing they're going to remind us of is just how new this is, how very fifth epical revelation this is, what we're about to do. This has never been attempted with mankind up to this point to try to give them something about the power so that you can combine it with some order that you may have had some idea of, even from some simple monotheistic theology, so that there actually can be ascension. You know, if you think about, there isn't much of a notion of ascension in prior religion. You know, there's just a magical transition to an afterlife. Fundamentally, the reason that we haven't gotten that philosophic thought of ascension is there's no relationship that it can be the super additive consequence relative to. Yeah. This is going to finally give us the other side that we've been needing to really appreciate that ascension is possible. All right.
Paper 29, the universe power directors. Of all the universe personalities concerned in the regulation of interplanetary and inter-universe affairs, the power directors and their associates have been the least understood on Urantia. While your races have long known of the existence of angels and similar orders of celestial beings, little information concerning the controllers and regulators of the physical domain has ever been imparted. Even now, I am permitted fully to disclose only the last of the following three groups of living beings having to do with force control and energy regulation in the Master Universe. 1, primary eventuated Master Force organizers. 2, associate transcendental Master Force organizers. 3, universe power directors.
Okay. Just quickly in passing a couple things there before we kind of get to the meat. You notice that they couldn't resist saying you have long known of the existence of angels and similar orders. Not only are there orders of beings, but there's an order to those orders. The next paper. And then this whole bit about, you know, even now I am permitted, you know, so many times they, you know, have some statement like that. Notice here the precision. Even now I am permitted fully to disclose, not reveal. Let me stress that again, you know, the precise distinction between a disclosure and a revelation. You disclose facts. Okay, and that's what he's talking about. He's, about the disclosure of facts. Okay, but besides disclosing facts and coordinating the essential knowledge of those facts, you can also reveal truth flowing through those facts. Or you can attempt to get the reader, in this case, to recognize the truth that flows through those coordinated facts. But, you know, at times, you know, we've pointed this out, you know, they'll say, now we're not permitted to reveal, or they'll even name them the unrevealed such and so's. And it's like, well, what do you mean unrevealed such and so's? I'm reading the words. No, they're disclosed. There's words. But they're not revealed. They weren't revealed to give you enough to have an immediacy of relationship to the truth. Because, for instance, it's related to the post-ascension scheme, say. Okay. But if you put enough pieces together, in thinking the truth, you can begin to find the truth that flows through that disclosed fact. And then you appreciate, oh, that's why they disclosed it. Because if they didn't at least disclose that element, I would have had a blockage to the wholeness that's required to be able to engage the truth in the revelation. Okay. So that, again, just the literalness of the word reveal, to draw back, to read the back, to draw back the veil, reveal the veil, literally thinking of the veil as being the facts, and you draw the facts back, is there something there or not for you? I think, well, if I draw back the facts, there's nothing there. It's a blank page. You got something you need to challenge yourself on, because if you can, because when you draw back the facts, there's a truth, or there should be. Okay, now, just they'll deal a little bit with the force organizers at the end, but let's just appreciate, since they've given us the names. Let's do it right up front here. Remind ourselves of why they've got so many words in their names. Besides the fact that they're engaging the force charge of space, primordial force, and hence the force, and it has to do with not only the mastering but the master universe. Why eventuated and transcendental? That's the real key. Why do they throw in those two? Okay, and it's fundamentally because both those beings are absonite beings. However, the difference is the primary ones are definitively bounded, above and beyond that the top of the finite. So if we just picture it in simple terms, where the finite is here and the absonite is here, and I have a boundary between the two. Okay, the primary ones are in a domain that's not directly touching the finite. Okay, so they just use that straightforward word of eventuated, brought into existence as an absonite being, to describe them. I mean, the associate ones are also eventuated, but why did they say transcendental? Because the word transcendental implies that you've gone above the finite, but you still have a definitive linkage to the finite. You're not bounded away from it like the primary ones. The associate ones are engaging the domain from the bottom of what the primary ones engage down to the interface with the finite. They bring this coalescing absonite phenomenon right to the boundary of the finite. And what they release at the boundary of the finite is ultimatons. As they're going from starting with the primary ones engaging the force charge, and then you're evolving it through their hands to the point that you have ultimatons, that most fundamental of finite expressions, finite individuations of that absonite motion, that is the higher stuff that they're working with. Okay, so that's so as you go down from 1, 2, 3 in this list, you're just coming down from the highest levels of the absonite that you need to be in to be doing this, whatever that is, bringing it right down to the boundary with the finite, sort of just poking it across the boundary, letting go of it. And then number three, the universe power directors are the ones that are taking a hold of that at the boundary and bringing it further down in until you finally get it all the way to universe power. We're not going to deal a lot with those technical terms that you have up there in paper 42, but you start with the space potency, just the presence of the unqualified absolute, or let's think of it as a finite presence of the unqualified absolute, that finite potential, space potency. That's taken forward a notch into primordial force by the primary ones. And then they also take it from primordial force into puissant energy. There are two types of emergent energy. So those whirls in the force charge, the first time you have a differential so that you have an energy instead of the undifferentiated, continuum of a force, you have a whirl here and not over here. That's puissant energy, that first level of emergent energy. And then, the ultimatons are gravity energy. And so the primaries do those first two steps. The associates do that last step of going from the whirl and coalescing it into, or maybe even want to say condensing it, into ultimatons. Okay. So once you have all the ultimatons, the whirl is gone because the whirl has been made into ultimatons. Okay.
But we see it in space in our telescopes.
Right, but you don't see the whirl in the force charge. But you see things, you see things caught in the world. You see matter, okay. All right, so see, that, when you're taking it from force to energy to power, or from primordial force to emergent energy to universe power, okay, so that's the technical term for that purposed energy. And so, universe power, directors, that's who we're, they're trying to get it from that fruition of emergent energy to full purposed energy power. All right, so a little more here.
Though I deem it impossible to portray the individuality of the various groups of directors, centers, and controllers of universe power, I hope to be able to explain something about the domain of their activities. They are a unique group of living beings having to do with the intelligent regulation of energy throughout the grand universe. Including the supreme directors, they embrace the following major divisions. 1, the 7 supreme power directors. 2, the supreme power directors.
Centers.
3, the master physical controllers. 4, the Marantia power supervisors.
Okay, and so, a lot of times in just lower, uncapitalized, you'll hear them say directors, centers, and controllers, as a general reference to their proper names here. Now, just notice, again, very subtle things, like I was pointing out, that they purposely, called them orders because you want to recognize that that's next paper is about order. Look at how they preface this. They say, they're definitive individualities, definitive individuals. If not persons, but their individuality is really beyond our ability to appreciate, other than the fact that they're individuated. You can get that basic philosophic fact, that they're individuals, and living, et cetera, right? But like I said, some of them are actually personalities, so they're, call them beings, not just entities. But you notice he says, I hope to be able to explain something about the domain of their activities. That's giving you a clue. It's like, well, wait a minute. When I go to the next paper, these beings are in those lists. So aren't they part of the order? Well, yes. But notice what he says. That really the whole point is not to try to explain them so much in the order, but to explain the domain of their activities. That's the point. So, we're not really going to focus so much on the beings, but the power. Like I said, that's what the paper is. Power, then order, then ascension. Okay. See, so it's, because that's the purpose of the paper, to talk about power, and not the beings, he doesn't just operate there. He says, well, that's hopeless. Yeah, that's the end of the paper. Okay? Okay? Just notice that. Just think logically. It's like, oh, that's a clue about what it is I'm looking for that follows. I'm not so much trying to get something about some being that I can hug one day and be friends with or something like that. I'm trying to understand power. Okay? All right. All right, so then we have these groups.
Have you hugged a substation?
Right, yes. Some of them I wouldn't recommend hugging.
Don't recommend.
That would be like You have, as a material being going into those central regions in the Isle of Paradise and getting bug zapped. All right, so you have these vast power beings. And because the universe is mind made and personality managed, I mean, this power, this energy that's going to well up into a purposed energy of power, it doesn't happen automatically. You know, so that's the importance of the beings, but. All right, but the power is what we're looking for, to understand the patterns of power.
The supreme power directors and centers have existed from the near times of eternity, and as far as we know, no more beings of these orders have been created. The seven supreme directors were personalized by the seven master spirits, and then they collaborated with their parents in the production of more than 10 billion associates. Before the days of the power directors, the energy circuits of space outside of the central universe were under the intelligent supervision of the master force organizers of paradise.
Okay, so you have, you know, that very fact, they're reminding you that the reason that you have the seven supreme power directors is because you have something besides the central universe. So when all you have is the central universe with the Isle, you don't need these beings. And so they weren't there. Okay? So when they say they've existed from the near times of eternity, so they're hearkening us back to when the powers that be, if you will, decided we're going to expand outside of the central universe. We're going to establish you're just thinking you're going to establish the super universe space level and the seven super universes. And of course, the outer space levels to go with it. But you're looking out from the unity, or maybe I shouldn't say unity, the singularity of the central universe to a sevenfold phenomenon being made stuff. You've had the seven master spirits, you know, all the time back there in eternity. Because you've had three, infinite persons, and so you have seven relationships. The master spirits have always been there, but the fact of their sevenfoldness has never been made stuff. You know, so literally, as the seven super universes express. So. Now, they tell you, when you go back and look, the very first personalities on the record are whom? You know, when you're talking about finite beings, you know, supreme beings, beings that are the ancients of days, are the first ones on that finite personality registry, you know, the actual personalities, not super personalities. Okay. So the ancients of days start it. You know that. And see, they're pointing out that these beings are right there shortly after, obviously, right? Sometime immediately following the Ancients of Days. Can we think about what probably those, you know, some of that immediate sequence is? You notice you start with the Ancients of Days, which we pointed out when we were talking about the Ancients of Days. They don't fundamentally have that sevenfoldness, correct?
Right.
Right? They're all the same deity flavor, all 21 of them. So bringing them into existence first, oh, we're really coming top down. The first thing that we're bringing into existence really is that level of the collective seven super universes, not the individual, but the collective super universe level. Coming from the top down, so you have the Ancients of Days and that common level, you know, and the creative mother agencies of the Ancients of Days, the mothers for that collective level of the super universe level. See, so you're coming down. And you think, well, the first, you know, I mean, if I'm going to actually go down the next notch to individuals, probably the very next beings in the list are these seven supreme power directors. Boom, 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 boom. Seven footholds. Okay, now connected to those, those seven master spirits that have been waiting to sort of lay down their roots, okay? And when you bring those, when you actually establish a literal outside phenomenon outside the central universe, that's going to immediately change the central universe. There's going to be an immediate reciprocal reflection in the central universe. Everything's going to have to change in there to now keep it in harmony, because it now has this whole new complexity that it has to deal with. It's outside of it. And that's when you're going to have those circuit spirits coming into existence. Because, of course, you also have the reflective mother spirits, you know, tied to the seven, too. So you have those circuit spirits. Because remember when we read about the circuit spirits back when we were talking about the Supernafim? Remember when they were introducing this secondary and tertiary Supernafim? They pointed out how the secondary Supernafim weren't there until Grand Fanda arrived. And in that context of reminding you that these beings, you know, have a sequence of coming into existence, they mentioned about the circuit spirits, that they weren't there as part of the pre-super universe, central universe. They represent this response to the super universe coming into existence. So, see, you can see, you know, we know the ones that are going to be amongst the very first ones, the Ancients of Days, Seven Supreme Power Directors, Reflective Mother Spirits, the Circuit Spirits, those are going to be, you know, all right there at the very beginning of that list, okay? As this new phenomenon now starts up and begins to be equilibrated, okay, and established. And we'll read a little bit more about the, you know, they're coming into existence here in the first sections. But we just wanted to, you know, here's where they, you know, from the near times of eternities, that's what they're hearkening to. And we'll see as we get through going through all of the centers, the power centers, that you've got this roughly, you know, upward of 10 billion of them, you know, that are needed to anchor everything. Okay, but before that, what was outside of the central universe was being handled by the master physical controllers. In other words, it's just exactly like what's outside of the super universe level right now. Those four outer space levels, there's no universe power directors out there. That's all being handled by the master force organizers, just like even the super universe level, or what became the super universe level, used to be being handled by them. Who knows what the structure was of all that before all this began. But whatever was out there was all being handled. So the force organizers, you know, are kind of being supplanted step by step. You know, they get, they're the pattern and the plan. But then the more things get going, the more they step aside, or in this case, literally move outward from the center. All right, let's get a little more here.
Having knowledge about material creatures, you have at least a contrastive conception of spiritual beings. But it is very difficult for the mortal mind to envisage the power directors. In the scheme of ascendant progression to higher levels of existence, you have nothing directly to do with either the supreme, directors or the power centers. On certain rare occasions, you will have dealings with the physical controllers, and you will work freely with the supervisors of Marantia Power upon reaching the mansion worlds. These Marantia Power supervisors function so exclusively in the Marantia regime of the local creations that it is deemed best to narrate their activities in the section dealing with the local universe.
Yeah, so you know, you get way up there. When we get up there, we'll talk about them. But see, just, you know, right there, they're reinforcing what I was saying. You know, don't be looking, you know, reading this paper, looking for an understanding of how it's part of the order that helps your ascension exist. Like they're saying, you're not going to really have that much relationship to them as an order that you're ascending up through, see? Because they're really underneath getting the phenomenon started, getting power, energy upwelling into power in the first place, so that you could be an upward arrow called an up out of the humus, a human, you know, up out of the dirt. They're the ones that are, you know, helping to make you an upward arrow And then the order allows that arrow to extend all the way to paradise. So that's, again, we're dealing with the power component here. All right, so let's get some specifics now about these most important companions of the seven supreme, or the seven master spirits.
One, the seven supreme power directors. The seven supreme power directors are the physical energy regulators of the grand universe. Their creation by the seven master spirits in the first recorded instant of the derivation of semi-material progeny from true spirit ancestry is the first recorded instance. When the seven master spirits create individually, they bring forth highly spiritual personalities on the angelic order. When they create collectively, they sometimes produce these high types of semi-material beings. But even these quasi-physical beings would be invisible to the short-range vision of Urantia mortals.
Okay, now there's a lot. Okay, we need to flesh out a little bit. There's a lot there. Okay, so let's take it slowly, one step at a time. Okay, so we're going to have, we're obviously the name like director, like they're saying, it's just, this is the root of this whole physical energy regulation, mind-made personality managed, that personality managed aspect. Okay, so their creation by the seven master spirits, here's like we were saying, see, is the first recorded instance of the derivation of semi-material progeny from true spirit ancestry. Not only is it the first of that, but it's, right back there amongst the very first beings being created just for the purposes of the finite scheme of things out here in the super universes. And notice carefully how they say that. Okay, so remember we talked before about this whole difference with the master spirits creating individually and collectively. Okay, and literally, when you talk about the master spirits collectively, you're talking about that eighth fact, right? Just like when you have the three and the fourth fact of the Paradise Trinity, there's the seven and the eighth fact, the sevenfold spirit. Not the sevenfold, not God the sevenfold, the sevenfold spirit. Separate fact. Okay? That is the collective expression of the seven master spirits. If you're thinking bottom up, or it's a super additive consequence of the existence of the seven, make this eighth fact. Okay? And remember we talked about that when we were talking about the circuit spirits. Okay? Here we're talking about it again. We talked about how that's the sevenfold spirit had to do with bringing the circuit spirits into existence. Now we're talking about it, having to do with bringing the seven supreme power directors into existence. And between the lines, they're alluding to that other thing. See, when they create collectively, they sometimes produce these high types of semi-material beings, like the power directors here. What's a time when they don't? The circuit spirits. Circuit spirits. Okay. What's the difference? Why is it that one time, when you had this collective creating phenomenon, it was semi-material, and the other time it was very definitively spiritual, the circuit spirits. The difference is, with the circuit spirits, it's actually the infinite spirit that is initiating that creative act, and it's in liaison with the sevenfold spirit that the circuit spirits come into existence. So, the definitive spiritness, of the infinite spirit, is behind that. But here, the seven master spirits, collectively, just in and of themselves, are initiating this. It's not in liaison with the infinite spirit. So when it's them really initiating, and through their collective expression, it being manifested, it has this semi-material manifestation. Okay. Let's see. Back in the previous paragraph, is that having knowledge about material creatures, you have at least a contrastive conception of spiritual beings. So that whole thing is like, well, I don't know exactly what spirit substance is. But I know what material substance is. I'm made out of it. I'm a blob of it. And so I'm trying to think of there's this sort of very different antipodal, you know, on the other end of a spectrum substance, spirit substance. So that's what they're saying. See, in a contrast, it's like, well, at least I can imagine a line, and somehow there's spirit substance at one end and material substance at the other. Okay, and I'm thinking along this line. And when you use the designation semi-material, you know, like you talk about a semicircle, for instance, you know, literally you're talking about a half. I mean, when you say semi, they're invoking that line where there's matter at one end, you know, sort of half of its matter, half of its spirit, if you will, see? And this is on the material half of that spectrum, semi-material. So that designation, see, is kind of just thinking in terms of the simple finite manifestation from the first two triodities, where you have matter, mind, spirit, you know, the threefold actuality in very simple, separate form, okay? And they're more on the material side than the spirit side of that linear spectrum, okay? But they don't always use that semi. You notice, like right here, they used quasi also. If they say quasi instead of semi, I mean, it's roughly saying the same thing. But the word quasi isn't as concrete as semi. Like I say, I mean, you know, half is like a semi. But quasi is like, well, I don't know, what the heck is that? Right, it's a very fuzzy term. And so, you know, it's kind of sort of like, but see, you know, you're not immediately thinking so linear. That's because technically, these, you know, we're talking about beings that have a lot of relationship to the absonite. And when you're talking about the absonite, you have to bring in the other 18 triodities, not just the first two. There's 20 triodities. It's extremely complex. I mean, if you want to just think in kind of simple terms, where each of the triodities is like a dimension of variation. So that when you just have the first two, you have this twofold dimensionality where there's, on one side there's potentiality, and on the other side there's actuality of the three, of the matter, mind, spirit. You know? So it's kind of a two-dimensional potential actual. But you bring in those other 18 and you've got this very complex 20-dimensional triodity space in which energy is. Okay, and so it's not just a line where you're saying, well, they're kind of on this end of the line or on that end of the line. No, they're in this vast, complex space, and they're saying, well, it's kind of in that part of the space where you are. It's in that same neck of the woods as this complex, multidimensional space that a material identity is. It's quasi, okay, where you are. Not so much linearly, see, on your end, semi. Okay, so that's what they're... That's the significance of that. And then also the other thing you'll notice, and I wanted to stress this because as you go through the book, you'll see this. Also, why do they sometimes say material and sometimes they say physical? Okay. They will say physical instead of merely material if they want to remind you that there's a greater richness to what goes on than just the simplicity of matter. Like, for instance, the energy of my mechanical mind. That's obviously in the same neck of the woods as my matter because it directly engages my matter. But I wouldn't call it that matter, you know, or material. But I might lump it together as that's part of the physical, okay? So physical is a more generalized word, more encompassing word. So when they use physical, they want you to think that. You broaden your perspective a little, bring in all the sort of immediately related things to matter, the physical things, which includes the material, the merely material. Okay, then just one little quiz question. When the master spirits create individually, they bring forth highly spiritual personalities of the angelic order. Specifically, which angels?
Yes.
we just read about them, which angels do the master spirits create?
Serpent spirits?
No, those aren't angels. One of the Sephirnathim, which one?
Tertiary.
No, those are the kind of him. Which, primary, secondary, or tertiary Sephirnathim?
Primary.
Or it could be the one that neither of you mentioned. Secondary, the secondary ones. Or did you say secondary?
No, you looked it up ahead of time, so
I actually can remember that because we just read that.
He's got it filed away. There.
Primary Sephirnathim are made by the Infinite Spirit. Tertiary Sephirnathim are made by the Circuit Spirits. Secondaries are the Master Spirits. Okay, so that's who they're referring to. Try to get some of these anchor points, you know, so that you have something to hang the, you know, on in the sentence. It isn't just some vague, because, you know, what are we about to read in the next paper? We're gonna go through and try to see the order of all those beings. Well, if none of those words mean anything, if they're just vast lists of meaningless words, it's like, well, what's a secondary Sephirnathim? I have no idea. So it could be glop, glork, lick, blub, blub, blub. You know, it could have nothing in there. It could be gibberish. Okay, so you gotta get some anchors. You gotta try to figure out, okay, this being is, okay, I remember that being is that, and that being is that. Try to get the basics anyway.
So, Chris, yep. What's interesting to me is there's actual beings that actually take care of all this stuff. Beings that, you know, I guess people can relate to, or, you know, when they talk about here, they're actually living entities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
personalities.
Yeah, do you think they control this with mechanisms, or do you think it's just innate in who they are?
Ooh, you're jumping ahead. They actually answer your question ahead a little bit.
And I have one other question. Why do you think a universal sensor on this paper?
Can anyone in the room answer that question? As we talked about, huh?
Because a universal sensor focuses in on individuality.
Exactly. Of the three different flavors, you had the divine counselors,
right,
perfectors of wisdom, universal sensors. There's individuality, associativity, unity pattern there. The universal sensors are the ones that engage individuality. What are we reading about here?
Right.
They judge individuals. They don't judge the spirit unity.
So that means they have the knowledge that you're talking about.
They are a kind of being that knows about individuality. They know of that which they speak. That's why. See, once you see that pattern, you can start to answer those questions. You know, you notice, you know, it's not a divine counselor. You know, actually, here, if you flip forward, and you look at the order one, that was written by a mighty messenger. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, just, you know, we won't go to the next one, but just kind of teasing this pattern of power order ascension, a mighty messenger is a one-time mortal, right? He's writing this because he's foreshadowing, see where you're going, right? This order he's telling you is what, in relationship to power, is what allows you to ascend.
Not
like I did.
Mighty Messenger is not a finality.
He got inducted into the court of finality and then snatched out by the Paradise Trinity.
So he has a finality?
Yeah, I mean, technically.
Right.
But not, you know, not functioning as a finality anymore. He's a perfected ascender.
So just how short is our visible range?
Okay, so that was the last thing. Like I said, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. So that's the last little thing that we want to notice there. So you've got these beings that obviously need to, you know, work on material or physical sort of stuff. But it says, you know, even they would be invisible to the short-range vision of your ranch of mortals. Okay, so two perspectives on that. First of all, actually, this is three points. Initial thing, what we're not talking about. When you say short-range vision, the first thought in the modern age for a human to have is, it's like, well, there's, you know, radio waves on one end, you know, getting to microwaves and infrared and, you know, all, you know, through visible over to ultraviolet and the x-rays and whatnot. Okay, that spectrum. No, that's not. It's not short range in terms of you can see from red to violet.
Right.
Okay, that's not the short range you're talking about. There's that spectrum like that in flatland here where we are in the plain. At right angles to that is another spectrum. This line we were just talking about, where there's matter at one end and spirit at the other end. Okay? That's the short range. We do not have the ability to see very much like this. I mean, we see very narrowly in the...
Not the light range.
No, it's not in the electromagnetic spectrum. Yes, we have a short range there, but we have an even shorter range vertically.
Yeah.
Okay? We can't even see secondary midwares, okay, or the unrevealed lesser order of angels. I mean,
revealed.
Which are they're
really
disclosed.
Really disclosed.
They're disclosed, but right. I mean, they are just a nanometer above our eye level, in this vertical spectrum, and we can't see them.
Completely
oblivious to their existence, okay, because we have such a narrow vertical.
We
can't feel them or anything, right? We can't interact with them literally in any way because we're so short, we're so shallow in our nature, okay? So that's the simple actuality way to understand the short range. But bring in something that's even more to the point. When you go beyond this mortal life, in the greater scheme of things, when beings are of greater or lesser tangibility, visibility, whatnot, why fundamentally is that? Fundamentally, it's a thing called personality. Okay, they tell you point blank in the Revelation that from the viewpoint of personality, spirit substance is like that, and matter is, where is it? From the viewpoint of personality, spirit pattern, spirit substance is the opaque, solid thing, and matter is a shadowy thing. Okay, so let's do a little thought experiment. Okay, so here's a blob of matter, and in my other hand is some spirit substance. Which one can you see? So, how much personality have you actualized?
Not enough to see the...
Not enough to even see the most obvious thing that can be seen with personality, spirit substance, the thing that spirit, that personality is engaging, that it's patterning.
If you had a spirit in your hand, you might have made it.
Right, if I actually did, yeah. But of course, I actually do, don't I? There's spirit substance everywhere in this room. Filled with the spirit substance of the creative mother spirit and nothing else, could be angels and whatnot here too, but I mean, just appreciate that. See, that's a little, when you hear me say, we barely actualize personality, that's the little thought experiment that should make it clear when they tell you point blank that there is nothing more fuzzy from the personality viewpoint than matter. You're going, fuzzy? Seems kind of definitive to me. Oh dear. Maybe I'm not very personal yet. Maybe I'm kind of just a material energy phenomenon right now.
Right?
Isn't the divine consular one of the papers say he barely could perceive the walls?
Right. I mean, you remember.
He was in.
Yeah. Sure, right. You remember all the descriptions like that.
Did Jesus do that?
Well, but Jesus is just like this. Now, when you're a finaliter and you come back to this room, not only will you see the couch, like you can see now, but you'll also see the spirit substance in this room.
The full range.
Because you don't leave behind. See, the problem with some of those high beings that you're referring to, they have no connection with that lower stuff, like you still will as a finaliter. They were, we were talking about the primary eventuated beings. They're bounded way up above this sort of stuff. They know nothing immediately of this, and they never will. But you're going to know everything about all the lowliest of low and the highest of high and everything in between, and you're going to span the whole space. That's your role, to be the being that spans the whole space. Other beings, have selective levels, or if you think in the complex 20-dimensional space, you know, they fill out different regions of that whole complex space.
Kind of like Neo in the Matrix. So being perfected means you fully actualized your personality finally.
Right. Remember when we talked about going, you know, with the being with the primary Supernafim on the Isle of Paradise, and how finally personality is fully liberated, and right. So now you can actually take that viewpoint of personality, quote unquote, that they refer to in the book, in a full sense. You can see things now. Without that fullness of personality, vision, viewpoint, you can't really see. The spirit is still a shadow, and the matter is the substance, you know, from that perspective. But again, you know, in a cosmic sense, neither of them are shadows. They're both substances, spirit substance and material substance. They're both as equally as substantive. It just depends on what perspective you're looking at from. Yeah.
I was trying to envision that that spirit substance as a material thing. You can't see it, can you?
Well, you know, it has that thingness of, you know, when they talk about structures made out of spirit substance.
Oh, yeah.
But
it doesn't take up material. The
spirit substance of the creative mother spirit is in the local universe and not outside of it. Is it located in space and time? Yes.
Yeah.
And those structures, spirit structures on a given architectural sphere, they're not everywhere. They're at this spot on the architectural sphere and not on that spot. There are spirit rocks.
They have location.
Okay, quote unquote. Spirit things.
But everything is connected. It's all connected, the spirit substance and everything. You can't really decipher and differentiate from a higher level.
It's an expression of unity, but it is individuated. Even when we were just talking about the seven super universes, the first thing that you're doing there is taking the unindividuated unity spirit of the central universe and individuating it. The sevenfold individuation of spirit unity. You're making seven different flavors of spirit. Okay? You know, and so there's a unity like you're describing in our super universe. But that's not connected to another super universe. There's a rock solid wall of division spiritually between the two. You won't know anything of that great, you know, that other kind of unity until you get to the central universe.
Is there a spirit of love? Good question.
Well, God is love, and God is spirit, so you could probably put those two together.
So let's think about it for a second. And now let's say you kind of envision love, you know, which you know is here. Okay, so when human beings evolve to their most apex they can evolve to, seven-stage spirit, seven-stage light and life.
Yeah.
And when they die, move on, you know, they can almost go all the way through, they go through pretty quickly the local universe, you know, because they don't have to go stop every place like you and I do.
Oh, okay, I see what you're getting at. Okay.
The question is, while they're still on their planet of nativity, can they perceive spirit substance?
Yes.
So we do evolve to that.
You know, just go read that paper. Yeah, I mean, they point out that, you know, by the time you have a planet, you know, way into light and life, those mortals are able to see a lot. You know, they don't have such a short-range vision anymore.
Right.
They can see all the, you know, they're like material sons and daughters then, who can see all the lower spirit beings. So, you know, they can see all the midwares and all the seraphim and cherubim and, you know, Lananadex and, you know, whatnot. Yeah. I just wanted to really flesh that paragraph out, because there's a whole bunch of there, you know, of nice little anchor points to bring forward. We're talking about individuality, like we're just the universal sensors writing this. It's important to notice the individuality in this paper. Don't just skim it looking for a spiritual feeling. That's not what this paper is about. Okay? You're You're trying to really develop your material consciousness and be able to focus in on, oh, it said material there and physical there. Wonder why that is. And you're trying to discriminate between those two. Try to figure that out. Because the more you can, the more you will have both unity and individuality when you're reading the Jesus papers, say. So it will start to take on a cosmic character. It'll start to be the fifth epical revelation instead of just the fourth. Yeah. You know, you need to have both of those perspectives in play. All right, let's get a little more here.
The supreme power directors are seven in number, and they are identical in appearance and function. One cannot be distinguished from another except by that master spirit with whom each is in immediate association and to whom each is in complete functional subservience. Each of the master spirits is thus in eternal union with one of their collective offspring. The same director is always in association with the same spirit, and their working partnership results in a unique association of physical and spiritual energies of a semi-physical being and a spirit personality.
Okay. So, a few things to point out there. Notice how at the end, so a semi-physical being and a spirit personality. They said semi, and you can see why they did. See, they're just invoking the simple, you know, two endpoint picture, you know, of physical on one end, spiritual on the other end, you know, or like matter, spirit, or okay. And so they used the semi. We're being more general in saying physical instead of material here, because they wanted you to think about the fullness of that relationship. Don't think about it too simplistically. But see, you can now begin to see why, you know, they pick semi instead of quasi. Okay, it should be self-evident that if what's bringing these seven beings into, or the actualities, the selves of these seven beings into existence is the singular collective expression, you know, the sevenfold spirit. They're all going to be the same, you know. They're all coming through one lens, okay, focused from, you know, through one lens. So they're all going to have the same selves, okay, but they have seven absolutely unique personalities. So, how does a master spirit and a power director pair up? Not because they have the same flavor of, you know, body, self, okay? It's a personal pairing.
It's a relationship.
Right? It's a personal relationship. So that, just appreciate. So, notice that's one of the very first things that they tell you as we're going into all this detail, so that you know that even at the most fundamental level, you know, this mind-made universe is personality managed. Don't ever lose sight of that, even when you get in the midst of the Frandalanx and all that sort of stuff. At the source of all that management is a very personal being who only is paired with the Master Spirit because he's personal. If he wasn't personal, he couldn't be paired. So, fundamentally personal. That's a very important point that they're trying to put up front. Okay, and then let's just take a little aside. When they say that you have this working partnership now that results in a unique association of physical and spiritual energies, well, when I think of individuality and unity here on the chart of matter and spirit and the associativity, there's mind. Suppose that's what we're referring to? I guess you could turn to it if you want. It's on page 1273 in a single column. So up in paper 116, section 5, talking about the Almighty Supreme. And in section 5, that's where they introduce the other side of the sevenfold controllers, of which the directors are part of the sevenfold controllers. And so if you look there, starts right at the bottom of 1273 in the single column, or that, so you got that list at the beginning of of section five there in the little tiny paragraph, and then it starts the paragraph, the bifurcation. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what we're going to read. The bifurcation of energy and spirit, stemming from the conjoint presence of the eternal Son in the Paradise Isle, was symbolized in the super universe sense. That's what we're talking about right now, what we're reading about. Symbolized in the super universe sense when the seven master spirits unitedly engaged in their first act of collective creation. Oh, see, there's another clue. That see, these came before the circuit spirits. See? So their first act of collective creation. This episode witnessed the appearance of the seven supreme power directors. Concomitant therewith, the spiritual circuits of the master spirits, contrastively differentiated from the physical activities of the power director's supervision, and immediately did the cosmic mind appear as a new factor coordinating matter and spirit. So literally, see the relationship between the spiritual circuits, the seven master spirits, and the physical activities, this purposing of energy, the literal super additive consequence of the relationship between those two facts is the cosmic mind. The energy that is the mind is that super additive consequence. So, yes, is there a unique association that comes into existence? Yes, it's what we call the cosmic mind. Okay? And that cosmic mind needs wombs. Like the creative mother agencies of the ancients of days and the reflective mother spirits, you know, those wombs for that mind. See, so all of this has to come into existence, you see, you know, boom, 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 right at the beginning here. But you can kind of see that you can think of it as a sequence. It's like, well, first I get the physical end, now I have the two endpoints, and then I get the mind comes into existence, so then I'm going to have the reflective mother spirit, so I have a domain, a womb for that mind that can, you know, they actually make it a universe. Okay, see, so you can see how these are all needing to come together.
When you talk about mind, are we thinking about consciousness of itself?
We're not thinking about mind activity here so much as we're thinking about mind energy. When you're talking about, when you just say mind, there's technically two parts of that. There's the literal energy, you know, which you can, you know, like we talked about, you can make wires out of, you know, and have universe communications over, that literal energy of mind. But then there's an activity in that mind that you can think more technically, see, is where the consciousness lies. And that energy is sort of like a matrix that activity is within. Okay, so, but here, when we're literally talking spirit and matter, you know, we're talking about literally the mind energy of the cosmic mind. Okay.
You got a question.
Oh, yep.
So if they're seven, if they're collectively created,
mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like they're, you know.
So just boom, all of them at the same time.
And then each one picks one of the seven master spirits to hang out with or forever.
Coincidentally, their absolutely unique personalities pair up just perfectly with an absolutely unique personality of a master spirit. That's what you notice after the fact.
Long time.
Right.
I don't think that has anything to do with the seven aspects of the master spirits, you know, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Hard to say.
Well, I mean, remember that sevenfold really is about the selves of the seven master spirits, not their personalities. See, so, you know, independent of whether or not, you know, you have the Father-Son spirit type mindal self or deity, even in this case, you could say the deity flavor of the seventh master spirit, a particular power director is not matching up with that deity flavor. It's a personal, it's above that. It's a personality to personality linkage that is coincidentally just perfect. You know, it transcends the fact that master spirit has this very distinct deity flavor, you know, self flavor, and the power director doesn't know, has it doesn't have a like flavor.
Right,
see? Yeah. So something has to be above that difference between them that would divide them.
It's kind of like some, the beginning of that paper where it says to God, all the universe doesn't really exist. I mean, with paper 16 or something like that, right? To where the material side of it is not as critical, I guess.
Yeah, and again, you know, just that fact that personality comes from the first source and center, which is above, you know, in a simple way of thinking of it, that differential we just read about of the eternal sun and the paradise isle, you know, that personality, you know, is greater. Did I say something incorrect there? No.
No.
Oh, okay. It's just, yeah, the eternal sun, paradise isle. See, that personality is higher, and so it can bridge that difference. You're always seeing, you know, our personality can encompass the threefold actuality. It can take three things that are distinctly different and encompass them and make them one. It can transcend the difference between the individuality, the associativity, and the unity, the matter, mind, and spirit. That's the importance of personality, that it's on top in this stack of things.
Now, is the cosmic mind the same throughout the super universes, or is it?
No, each super universe has a womb
of cosmic mind.
A particular flavor of cosmic mind that's down at the individual super universe level. But then there's a flavor of cosmic mind that's above that, that's the same all the way around, that you'll be plugged into as a finaliter. You know, that's the whole point. You know, you're ascending up out of that womb of a super universe up into a collective super universe womb of the creative mother agencies. You know, that cosmic mind that's up there directly interfacing with the supreme mind, you know, above the finite. You know, so, when you read more up there right where we were just reading up there about the supreme, they refer to these details about, you know, the cosmic mind, and, you know, it's a complex structure. It's not a simple fact. Now, technically, the womb of mind that we're in the local universe is also the cosmic mind. It's just downstepped. And when you downstep that cosmic mind, it separates that out. It isn't so unified. It has a spirit core that we call the Holy Spirit, and then it has the more individuality like mind more directly wrapped around that spirit core, okay, like Maharaja mind, or, you know, local universe mind, or even clear down here, adjutant mind, okay. But, you know, think of that all together, ball the mind and the Holy Spirit all together, and you have cosmic mind. Because it's all just coming from one master spirit. It's all cosmic mind. It's just expressed at different levels.
Yeah. Just to diverge a bit, mm-hmm. There's been a lot in the news lately about this woman who's brain dead. You know, it hasn't been too long that they've been able to measure brain waves, mm-hmm. and tell when somebody's, mm-hmm. when that electrical energy ceases.
Right.
Well, haven't we learned too that you're spiritually, I mean, spirit, our spirit center leaves when we're brain dead.
Right, so... Oh, yeah, okay, so for those on the webinar, she's asking about this whole, you know, that we've been talking about, this woman in the news being brain dead and whether or not she should be unplugged or not. This whole bit about the rhythmic pulsations that we now can measure. You know, we measure these electromagnetic oscillations, and the revelation explains to us what the source of that is. You know, we're measuring a very physical electromagnetic thing tied to the brain, but the brain isn't the source of that oscillation of energy. It's actually the adjutant mind that is oscillating. The literal energy of the adjutant mind has an oscillation in it, okay?
We're just seeing the shadow. The
rhythmic pulsation in it. And, you know, but that engages the matter and makes the matter pulsate, and then we measure that pulsating matter. So, you know, if the matter is not pulsating anymore, that means there's no adjutant mind, which just pulsates. Okay, it doesn't stop pulsating. There's no adjutant mind connected to that matter anymore. That's a problem. Right. You know, and for the thought adjuster to leave, you know, all you have to do is get the seventh adjutant to disconnect, and then the thought adjuster can't be there. You know, let alone going all the way down to the first adjutant not being there. Now, there's still a rhythmic pulsation, an electromagnetic phenomenon that we measure as a EKG rather than an EEG. Okay, that rhythmic pulsation that's seated on the physical heart, that's the mechanical mind that has a rhythmic pulsation in it. Okay, I mean, if she didn't have that mechanical mind connected, she would be dead. Totally, okay? Not even,
physically dead.
Really, really dead, okay? But now, if you don't have adjutant mind, you just have a plant. Plants have mechanical mind. So you just have a plant phenomenon. You don't have an animal phenomenon even anymore. If you literally have no first adjutant even.
That's why they call you vegetable.
Right. It's a vegetative state. The relatives have pointed out, coincidentally, you notice how you call it that? That's true. See, that's literally what it is. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So let's see. Did we get everything there? Let's see. We talked about the personality. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And then bringing in the cosmic mind. So.
Can I ask you?
Yep. Okay.
All right, the master spirits, the seven master spirits are the Father, the Son, right?
No.
Those are not the master spirits. All right, who are the master spirits?
Okay. There are seven different flavors of deity that you can make out of the three flavors of deity of the universal Father, the eternal Son, and the infinite spirits. You have three different deity flavors there. You take Father-like deity, but not quite up at the high level of the universal Father. You downstep that Father-like deity, and you make the first master spirit.
Okay.
So he's Father-like, but it's not the Father. It's Father-like deity, and of course it's a completely different personality from the personality of the Father. Those two personalities are absolutely different. No overlap at all. Okay. Their deity is similar. So with two and three, master spirits two and three, it's a downstepped expression of sun-like deity, a downstepped expression of spirit-like deity, and then the combinations, et cetera.
That's right. That is the master spirits.
Those are the master spirits, but just keep them distinct from the three persons, the three infinite persons.
Okay, that's where it's getting.
You got infinite persons, and you've got way sub-infinite persons, the seven master spirits. They're way down below the three infinite persons. They have ultimate sort of personality activity, but they're not even absolute, let alone all the way up to infinite. So they're much, much, much down below the three persons.
They're that far below. We're not even in existence.
Okay. And now we're dropping down even further. So notice that. I mean, it's a good thing you just brought that in, because this is how I explained that. The master spirits, they have both supreme and ultimate personality activity. Remember we talked about that when we were talking about the master spirits? See, these are just supreme. They're just like the Ancients of Days are just supreme. Remember the Supreme Trinity personalities. See, so you have a downstepped expression here. Okay? So think about, like we were saying, you've had the master spirit since before there was a super-universe level. Now you have something that's a footprint that's, or an anchor point that's been established down below them. Okay? So you really have kind of the picture that we always picture of the vertical, where you have matter, mind, spirit. If you think of the master spirit as being the spirit endpoint, and he's really above because he's got higher personality activity than the material end of the physical end, the power director. It kind of matches that vertical picture we were always painting, okay? And we saw that when we started thinking about the first beings for the Ancients of Days, and they were sort of just coming down from the Absinite, where it's still all one super universe level. And you go down a little bit further to the to this phenomenon, and then you actually have seven distinct domains. See, so you're coming down from the Ancients of Days to them. And see, obviously, the fact that it takes three Ancients of Days to anchor one super universe, rather than just one Ancients of Days, that's telling you something about, remember when we talked about those Trinity origin beings, how we noticed, when one could function at the minor sector level because of its individuality, and you needed two at the major sector level because of its associativity, you needed all three because of its unity. For the Ancients of Days at the super universe headquarters level. So think about the individuality of one Ancient of Days. It's like, remember we talked about how it flips over. You go individuality, associativity, unity out here, but you go into the central universe and it reciprocates, and it goes from unity at the bottom up through associativity to a higher individuality. That individuality of that Ancients of Days, see, is up at that high transcendent individuality of like the central universe, like their cousins, the Eternals of Days. That they're in close association with as an individual. So you start with a single Ancient of Days, and he's way up here, and where he has to be the ruler is down here. So you bring in two, and it goes down a notch. And you bring in three, and it brings him down. And he's got to stay three, or they'll float up, okay? Yeah, they have to stay anchored. Okay. And what for us seems like the ceiling, but for them is a floor. Okay. Because they're coming down. And you can see that they have a fundamental nature that came down from the Trinity. You know, that Trinity source that stuff is always coming down. The mother's coming down. Okay. Because when they make mothers, they're higher mothers than the seven super universe distinction. Okay. That's hearkening. You know, the mother is more, is really more expressive of the Trinity. See, so it's higher up, closer to the source, the Trinity source. See, it all makes sense if you think about it. So and so you're coming down, you're coming down even further to the Supreme Power Directors, and then you're filling the space in between with the mind wombs of the reflective mother spirits. That's the picture we're painting.
So,
okay.
All this time, I thought that they were like the actual Universal Father, but it's the actual downstepped version of the Universal Father.
Yep.
And yep. That's how it works.
Yep. Okay, yep. So, and a totally distinct personality. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I've read Paper 16. I didn't understand that
part. Right. Yep. So you got a question about that too?
So is that a similar pattern with the Ancients of Days to, like, the seven master spirits create individually,
mm-hmm.
It's spirit beings when they create collectively.
We don't know a lot about the Ancients of Days functioning as creators. They're creators.
No, I mean, I'm just saying with the fact that they are, when they function in a group, then they can function more, they can relate more to individuality.
So you're, it's kind of tricky because in order to actually go down to the associativity and the individuality of the major and minor sectors, you need those downstepped expressions of Ancients of Days. You need those, the next two down, getting all the way down to the Recents of Days.
Yeah.
Remember? See, so so you have to think about how you have sort of this expression coming down from the Trinity, and then you reciprocate and have these, this hierarchy that extends all the way down, to the faithfuls of days, clear down at the constellation level, all those other of days are in a sense, the reciprocal coming down from that anchor point that the Ancients of Days established. So, that's the thing about their individuality. See, I was trying to point out is really a very transcendent thing that we don't directly experience. You'll never experience anything but the three of them together. You know, maybe you begin to get shades of the distinction as a fine out or working out in the super universes. I don't know. But initially, they just, you know, the three are one, you know, sort of not going to be one in our experience. And I, you know, we don't have much, we don't know much. You know, we barely know anything about one of those beings that comes for them, the Creative Mother Agencies. So they don't have a lot to work with. No, we haven't even finished this section yet.
Sorry, okay.
Okay.
The Universal Father is a person.
Yes.
But he's also a spirit.
No.
Okay, right?
He's a spirit person.
All right. So when you go down here to the Master Spirit, these aren't persons.
Yes.
These are just spirits of a person.
No, they're persons.
See, I'm totally, I don't understand that at all.
Wait, you mean personality?
I mean, in the same sense that I'm a distinct personality from you,
yeah.
A master spirit is a distinct personality from the Father. That's just as simple
even
as that.
They have the same names, the Father, the universe.
They don't have the same names. They're called a first master spirit. They have a same flavor of
that's
deity.
The flavor.
But a creator son has Father-type deity
yeah.
and son-type deity, but you don't think of the creator son as being the universal Father.
No.
It's the same thing. Okay, or even more to the point, you know, you've got one of the master spirits that has father-type deity and son-type deity together.
Yeah.
Which one? One, two, three,
four.
Right? So you take the fourth master spirit, he has father-type deity and son-type deity together and then personalized. Well, that's a lot like a creator son, which is father-type deity and son-type deity personalized. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, So, in other words, a creator son is, in some sense, is even a more down-stepped expression of the fourth master spirit.
Yeah.
That's something to think
that's
about.
Something
to
ponder.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very different. And an absolutely unique personality, but in terms of their self, they have, a creator son has a distinct father and son-like feel to him when you engage his mind. Okay. The first master spirit will have a distinct father-like feel when you engage the mind of that master spirit. Totally different personality than what you experience when you discover the father on paradise the first time, but same flavor of mindal character. See, so that should get you thinking about, well, what's the difference between my personality and my mindal character? Yeah, exactly. See, you know very little about your personality. You know something about your mindal character, but you almost know almost nothing about your personality yet. Because can you see the spirit substance in this room?
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right.
We know a lot about temperament.
Yeah, we know a lot about our agitant mindal temperament.
So this room is so full of the mind and matter.
Mm-hmm.
And spirit.
Spirit.
How can you see anything? I mean, if you could see all that stuff, you'd have trouble like going across the room. And I mean, if you wanted to see something over there, there'd be stuff blocking you.
Yeah.
So you be moving a lot.
When you start saying that, I don't want to know about that.
Well, see, it's apparently, you know, if you could see the mind or spirit presence of the Creative Mother Spirit, it wouldn't be opaque. And if it was, I mean, if it was opaque, I mean, you know, how could any of these stories they talk about in the book make sense? You know, if the whole universe is opaque to them, you know, and they can only see to the end of their nose. Now, obviously, there's a transparency to this substance, but it's there nonetheless. You know, now imagine what that might look like. Is it like a shimmer or, you know, or what, you know? But, you know, there's going to be some substantiveness to it. But, you know, her presence is quite diffuse. I mean, her presence doesn't get thick enough until you get to the island, to Salvington. On Salvington, her spirit substance is thick enough that you go, oh, wow, clunk, 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 clunk. Okay, yeah, she's here. You know, she's pretty spread pretty thin out in the reaches of Nebadon, so she's transparent. But she's not transparent on solving, especially post-Pentecost. She's gotten really solid now on Salvington. I mean, so there's an opaque blob of spirit there, you know, whereas when she first came out as a creative spirit, wasn't even a creative mother spirit yet, she was transparent.
Can you think of that scene in the movie Contact when Jodie Foster came through the device and landed on the beach and she woke up and she realized that if she touched the air, it made a...
Boom.
Yeah, it made ripples.
Yeah.
It was almost like a plasma.
Right, see. You know, there's literally, you know, a sheet like that in this room of spirit substance that, you know, if you could touch it, you could make it vibrate. Okay.
That's what I meant when I said we were all, it's all connected from that same spirit substance that runs through everything.
Yeah, but this spirit substance comes to an end at the boundaries of the local universe. Yeah, totally. You know, so you try to reach out through that unity of spirit and you come to a wall at the boundary of her body. So in order to go outside of that wall, you got to get up to a higher spirit that's above her. You got to get up to the spirit presence of the reflective mother spirits.
That's why you can't get out of your
creators. Yeah. Right, well, and of course, fundamentally for us, you know, if we tried to do the Starship Enterprise escape from the local universe, as soon as the Enterprise crossed the boundary of her body, your mind comes unplugged and you go...
Yeah. Okay. Would even our mechanical mind work?
No, I mean, just come unplugged.
There's no incentive to do it.
Yeah, just don't do it. All right.
The seven supreme power directors are stationed on peripheral paradise, where their slowly circulating presences indicate the whereabouts of the force focal headquarters of the master spirits. These power directors function singly in the power energy regulation of the super universes, but collectively in the administration of the central creation. They operate from paradise, but maintain themselves as effective power centers in all divisions of the grand universe.
Okay. So, you know, a couple things there. Don't think simplistically. Remember, the Isle of Paradise is outside of space and time. So it's not like you can think of it this like a stagecoach wheel here, you know, where you have a super universe in this spoke that goes in and plugs into the peripheral paradise, and, you know, that spoke goes around as the super universe goes around, because there, you know, is that, if you imagine a spoke being built from the super universe in towards the center, there's no Isle of Paradise at the center for it to plug into. Remember, it's outside of space and time. Okay, so this is, that's why they said it the way they did. There are force focal headquarters. Okay, there are special points on peripheral paradise that transcendently are tied to each super universe. And they're there independent of the power director. It's not because the power director is standing there that there's that point. Remember how we read about the power directors and the master spirits getting together up on the upper surface of paradise and making beings? See, they can leave these. Okay. They're beings. Okay. They're not just machines plugged into the side of paradise. Okay. Okay.
They have a special place they go for that.
Right. There's a headquarters where they hang out, obviously, most of the time, because they're directing things from that headquarters. But okay. You know, and another way to remind yourself that you can't think simplistically, it's like, well, there are seven divisions in all of the four outer space levels too, and they're going in opposite, you know, alternating directions. See, so you can't just have a simple spoke connected to all five levels going around. You can't think simplistically. It's not a finite spoke. Okay, it goes transcendent to get to the aisle, this linkage. And that makes sense because we're about to talk about finite energy being brought into existence and manipulated, and it starts at the unqualified absolute, works its way down through the absonite and into the finite. It works its way down from the Isle of Paradise through the absonite and into the finite. Okay, that linkage is a transcendent linkage, not a finite linkage. Okay, so there's no beam coming out.
Isle of Paradise is an absonite?
No, absolute.
Absolute.
Yeah. It's one of the seven absolutes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, and so you notice there, because everything changed in the central universe, when you made the seven super universes, they have to be involved in the central universe too, collectively. Okay. And they mentioned that the circuit spirits were related to the seven supreme power directors, I mean the seven supreme executives too. You know, so there is all of this management of the central universe now because of its relationship to the seven super universes. Okay.
These mighty beings are the physical ancestors of the vast host of the power centers, and through them of the physical controllers scattered throughout the seven super universes. Such subordinate physical control organisms are basically uniform, identical, except for the differential toning of each super universe core. In order to change in super universe service, they would merely have to return to paradise for retoning. The physical creation is fundamentally uniform in administration.
Okay, so you know, the matter is the same fundamentally throughout the seven super universes, but it's not just about, you know, the 100 elements. You know, it's not just material. You know, we use this word physical to remind you have all kinds of energies that are also in play here when you're talking about these power beings. And there is some distinct toning, like they're saying, of difference. Energy is attuned differentially to the seven super universes. Like when you start reading paper 36 about the life carriers, they remind you of how the foundations of life are distinct between the seven super universes. You have seven different types of life. And so the fundamental energies, you know, like mechanical, and the, you know, the energy of mechanical mind, see, those have to be attuned to the differences of the seven super universes. So they're alluding to that all the power beings are attuned to the particular super universe that they're working in. So there's another example of, you know, and some of those energies get quite spirit-like, you might say, of the distinctiveness of the energies, matter, mind, and spirit, in each of the super universes. You have to keep that in mind. Okay, let's get into these power centers a little bit. We may not get all the way through them, but let's get into them a little bit here.
To the supreme power centers. The seven supreme power directors are not able individually to reproduce themselves, but collectively and in association with the seven master spirits, they can and do reproduce, create other beings like themselves. Such is the origin of the supreme power centers of the grand universe, who function in the following seven groups. 1, supreme center supervisors. 2, Havona centers. 3, super universe centers. 4, local universe centers. 5, constellation centers. 6, system centers. 7, unclassified centers.
Okay. Notice how they start saying reproduce, like we produce, we reproduce. You know, it seems to be indicating. And then they insert in there that little parenthetical with the M dashes, create. Okay. They're trying to remind you, okay, at this level, we were just, you know, talking about it up there in the Almighty Supreme paper. You have the sevenfold controllers distinct from the sevenfold creators. The master spirits are part of the sevenfold creators. The seven supreme power directors, and the power centers too, are part of the sevenfold controllers. See, so just by themselves, the power directors, they're controllers, not creators, so they can't create. But you bring in some liaison with creators, seven master spirits, okay, and they say, okay, you know, technically we are literally talking about creating here. We're going to create the power centers. Okay. Keep that, you know, we'll come back to that when we get to the master physical controllers. Think about that. But here, they're wanting you to think, no, you're creating beings here. Yeah. Okay. So these power centers are created beings. But you know they're part of the sevenfold controller, so you're not creating creators. But that's, you know, for instance, the Universal Father and the Eternal Son create a creator son, but the Eternal Son and the Infinite Spirit create a magisterial son who's not a creator, it's a creature. Okay, so, you know, just because creators are doing it doesn't mean they have to create a creator. Okay, so here the creators are involved, but they're creating creatures. Specifically, they're part of the sevenfold controllers. All right, let's see, anything else in there? No, I think that's pretty much it. So let's start working our way down into this, see what we got.
These power centers, together with the supreme power directors, are beings of high will, freedom, and action. They are all endowed with third source personality and disclose unquestioned volitional capacity of a high order. These directing centers of the universe power system are the possessors of exquisite intelligence endowment. They are the intellect of the power system of the grand universe and the secret of the technique of the mind control of all the vast network of the far-flung creations of the master physical controllers and the Marantia power supervisors.
Okay. So both the power directors and the power centers are very, very definitively personal. So they're stressing that. That's still in play, just like they stressed that the seven supreme power directors were very definitively personal. The supreme power centers are also very definitively personal. So very much in that personality-managed mode, you know, right up front. The personality management isn't sort of like hidden behind the scenes. It's very overt. These very distinct will creatures. The only difference is they're third source personalities, not first source personalities. Okay, and so let's remind ourselves of that. When you start with the reservoir of all will back in, you know, in some beginning, in the conceptual beginning was the I am sort of, you know, picture, and you're picturing the reservoir of all will, one of the first things that you have to picture is that reservoir being split in two. Okay, there's two reservoirs of will. We don't often talk about that. It's not that fundamental bifurcation of individuality unity that you might talk about with the I am. This is, like I said, this is a thing that you don't often talk about. There's this other bifurcation, this other separation into two reservoirs. The first source, okay, is obviously the source for first source personality. You know, it's the first source and center. So has part of that pool of will that gets individuated as a personality. But there's another pool of will, third source will. That reservoir is the infinite spirit. Remember, that's why there's that infinite adjective. It's reminding you that in some sense you can think of that fact as a reservoir in some way. You know. You also call the first source the infinite one. See, there's that infinite adjective again. Okay, the infinite spirit is the reservoir of third source will. So it's a reservoir of the potential for third source personality. You know, if I individuate some of that will as a personality and bestow it, I have a third source personality.
And so many personalities come out of that.
Right, and you know, they've pointed out that they haven't revealed almost, you know, any of those third source personalities. Here's an example, though, where we have those third source personalities. Creative Mother Spirits are another one we know about. Those are third source personalities. They're definitively personal. You'll engage them personally, but it's a different type of personality. Third source personality in ways we don't fully appreciate. Personality, nonetheless. And, you know, disclose unquestioned volitional capacity and everything. It's not like it's some sort of low-grade will or something here. It's very definitive, they're trying to point out. The difference, you know, so in other words, the differences see are kind of transcendent of anything that we can appreciate, is what they're kind of saying. You know, so it's a difference kind of in name only between first source and third source personality in some ways. Let's see. And then they're possessors of exquisite intelligence and talent. I mean, so not only are they a personality, not only have they, do they have personality bestowed on them, but there's this definitive mindful self. Okay, this vast mindful self, this vast associating mechanism that does all kinds of really cool things as an associating mechanism in associating with energy. Okay,
powers.
That mindful self, that associating mechanism, you know, we're about to read about it some, is really complex and very fancy. Is an amazing mindful self. But in terms of a personality, basically just like you, just a personality, okay? It doesn't matter that their mindful self is vastly more complicated than yours, okay? And when you get to some of the pop master physical controllers, you don't have that personality anymore, but you still have that very complex mindful self, vast intellect. It's just it's not a person, okay? And so in other words, it's something that I would kind of recognize now, because I really don't know personality, so I wouldn't really know the difference between one that was a personality and one that wasn't. Okay, I would just go, wow, that's a really cool person, I would think. It's like, and they say, well, technically it's not a person. Really? It would be a real little reminder that I really don't know much about personality yet, that I would think that Frandelank was the coolest person I ever met, and it's not a person at all. It's just the fanciest mindful self that I've ever met.
But are these persons, Chris?
What?
Are these
so these centers are persons.
Yes, but...
Incredible, massive, literally, you know, bodies and minds, but a person.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's see. These directing centers of the universe power system are the possessors of exquisite intelligence. They are the intellect of the power system of the grand universe and the secret of the technique of the mind control of all the vast network of the far-flung functions of the master physical controllers and the Marantia power superheroes. What's the secret thing about? Why secret? Okay. The poster child for the person that didn't know that there was a secret is Lucifer. Lucifer looked at all this complicated mind, energy, material energy stuff, and energy just does it. You don't need personality behind all this. There doesn't have to be a personal father behind all this. It just happens, you know, in and of itself, as an energy phenomenon. No, that's never the case. Universe is mind, it might be mind-made, but it's personality-managed. Every automaton is ultimately personality-managed. It may not be right there, you know, if you focus on the automaton, you may not see the personality, but if you look behind, who's connected? Well, no, there's an impersonal being connected. Well, look behind that. Oh, there's a personal being behind that. The secret, you know, behind all of the seemingly impersonal stuff that just does it in and of its own. No, there's a personality behind it. That's why they're saying that. Because someone we are living under the consequences of didn't know that secret. Forgot that secret. As intelligent as he was. He forgot the secret,
that's exactly right,
that nothing is self-managing. No matter how magnificent the mind, there has to be personality behind it somewhere. Yeah. right. So that's why that's in there. Because when the high beings watch all this stuff, it's easy to forget that matter just doesn't do that itself. There has to be a personality hidden somewhere behind the phenomenon.
Well,
think they mentioned that in one of the first five papers about what an homage it is to pay for the mechanist to think that, oh, it all works that way, that God has it working so well that you don't even know.
His personality management is so perfect, you'd never know. We think, well, if there's a personality behind it, you'll notice the defects. Well, actually, we're just reminding ourselves, actually what we mean by that is if there's, in the absence of personality, you notice defects.
Exactly.
In the absence of myself being mastered by my personality, will myself be perfect? Will I notice defects in myself? Yes, I will. But if there's full personality management, there are no defects. And the Father's hand of personality is absolute. So you can't see anything that would give the hint that there's a being pulling strings.
Chris?
Yep.
If you didn't have personality, you couldn't have love.
Of course. Yeah. And that brings me, I wanted to mention that. When you brought up love, don't forget that technically, if you're wanting to measure love, you can't do that by measuring a quality of spirit substance. You can measure goodness that way. But love is flows in the volitional circuit of the Father, not the spirit circuits of the Son. Love is something that you can't really measure in the way we think of it. Remember when love is a verb, not a noun.
There's another secret they quote, talking about the beneficial association between personalities.
Mm-hmm.
What's the secret? Love is the secret
mm-hmm.
of beneficial association between personalities.
This distinction is vital for in a cosmic system. When we're talking about that connected to the whole, I mean, that's personalities and that volitional linkage. Those volitional circuits don't flow through spirit substance. There's another quote-unquote substance that fills this room. Deity substance.
Mm-hmm.
And that volitional circuit, that love, flows through that conductor.
Yeah.
Only deity can conduct love. Spirit can conduct goodness. Okay, so what about this first group here, of the centers?
One Supreme Center Supervisors. These seven coordinates and associates of the Supreme Power Directors are the regulators of the master energy circuits of the grand universe. Each center supervisor is headquartered on one of the special worlds of the seven Supreme Executives, and they work in close association with these coordinators of general universe affairs.
Maybe we better just stop right there first, and then do we're going to just do this number one, and this will be because you won't believe how much we got to talk about this next paragraph.
But I suspect.
So it'll be just perfect to finish at the 2-hour block here. Okay, notice we've stressed this a number of times recently. What did they slip in there with these coordinators of the general universe affairs? Remember how we talked a lot about that relationship between the seven supreme executives and the ancients of days, and how in many ways they're the two of them together managing the super universes has a father-like side with the ancients of days, and a mother-like side with the seven supreme executives. Okay, and it's in that spirit that they call them coordinators of the general universe affairs, because obviously the ancients of days are also involved in the general universe affairs. They're the coordinators of general universe affairs, coordinated with the ancients of days. But now you noticed right up in the beginning there, these seven coordinates and associates of the supreme power directors. So they're obviously wanting us to start thinking about that kind of father-like, mother-like differential that we often look for. You'll see here definitively when we get to the next paragraph. They're trying to get you in that mode by noticing the mother word of coordinate. All right, and And here we see, just like the pattern we saw, we had the seven master spirits on the isle. Okay, yeah, they're the master spirits of paradise, right? They're stuck on the isle. They can't leave the isle. They're on the isle. Okay, you have a sort of a downstepped expression, if you will, of the management of the seven super universes from paradise with the master spirits down to the seven worlds of the infinite spirit with the seven supreme executives. Okay, so we're seeing a parallel thing. We have the supreme power directors on paradise, and then we've got some really close coordinates of them that are, again, on the seven worlds of the infinite spirit. So there's a parallel they're setting up here. Okay. That's what they want you to see. That we're trying to downstep our way from paradise actually out to the trenches with this directing of power. Okay?
The supreme power directors and the supreme center supervisors function both as individuals and conjointly with regard to all cosmic phenomena below the levels of gravity energy. When acting in liaison, these 14 beings are to universe power what the seven supreme executives are to general universe affairs, and what the seven master spirits are to the cosmic mind.
Okay. So the tricky part is at the end there. Just make sure when they say levels of quote-unquote gravity energy, remember, like I said, they don't really talk about that in detail. You get up to paper 42. Gravity energy, that's ultimatons. Right. Okay. Gravity, because now you have something that's actually caught up in the circular gravity, going around in the levels. Okay, so below the levels of gravity, like we've been saying, you have the force organizers bringing things down, crossing that boundary into the finite with ultimatons, and then the universe power directors take a hold of it and take it down from there. Below the levels, coming down into the fullness of, finally having uranium atoms and whatnot, okay? so that's, and this is the key. It's an even closer linkage than there is between the seven master spirits and the seven supreme executives. They literally can be in liaison, as if they're glued together type beings. These seven supreme power directors and these seven supreme center supervisors, when they're linked together, form a liaison pair that you can understand in a very simple way. They very purposely started that paragraph out, and they've coined their names so that you can see. Notice the parallel. You have the and the, supreme and supreme, power on one hand, center on the other hand, then directors and supervisors. Okay, center is obvious. It's like, well, wait, we always talk about sources and centers and source centers and center sources and, centers and sources. You don't suppose. You think about it. So what are we talking about when we say source? Are we talking about literally the source of the space potency force energy itself? No. We're talking about the direction of that, the purposing of that into purposed energy, into power. Who is the source of that? Remember, they described it up there about the cosmic mind, the physical activities, that purposing of energy. Who's the source of the purposing?
Father?
No, the beings we're talking about here. Who's the first beings we talked about? The seven supreme power directors. They're the foundation of this whole directing thing, the seven supreme power directors. They're the sources of this purposing. And now we have, in one-to-one linkage, seven centers tied to the seven sources. And in that order, you have sources and centers. The supreme power directors and the supreme power supreme center supervisors, the sources and centers. Okay. Now, when you see that, then you can you can figure out what the heck they're talking about in that last sentence. When acting in liaison, so when there's an and between them, source and center, or we could replace the and by a hyphen, when we can say when they're in liaison, when they're a source center, a conjoint source center, these 14 beings are to universe power. They're the source centers of universe power, of the purposing of energy. See, they are to universe power what the seven supreme executives are to general universe affairs and what the seven master spirits are to the cosmic mind. We've talked about it with the cosmic mind. The seven master spirits are the seven source centers of cosmic mind. Flip it around. There are also seven center sources. You have seven wombs of mind, seven sets of reflective mother spirits. You know, that set of seven, one mother, seven spirits, one mother, you know, like in our super universe, that one mother is the center source. For the one master spirit, the seventh master spirit, who's the one source center. Right? They're coordinate. They're coordinate. One is a source center and the other is a center source. You remember how to translate that. This, you know, the second word in that hyphenated pair is the root. So when you talk about a source center, like the first source and center is a source center, the hidden part, the root, is the center, the first center, anchored, you know, in the first functional level total deity. The part that's, you know, built on that foundation that you would sort of see is the source. It's a source center. So, you know, what do we, how do we relate to that as a reservoir of the will from which our personality was individuated, you know, as the source of our personality, okay? A power, you know, so they're pointing out that the two of them together, the center supervisors and the power directors, see, are a source center. You have a source and a center. Okay, and just like the master spirits are source centers, and they're pointing out, see, the seven supreme executives, they're saying, are the source centers, see, of general universe affairs. They're the source centers. Oh, well, we know there's this coordinate thing going on. So the Ancients of Days then would be the reciprocal, you know, the flip of that. If this, so what are they?
Center source centers.
All right, they're the center sources. Okay, so think about that difference. So you're sitting here in the seventh super universe. Are the executives here with us? No, they're off in the central universe, and they're a source. But it's centered in the Ancients of Days. Yeah, center source. Okay. And not only that, but a center source, they'll describe the Paradise Trinity as a center source rather than a source center. Like the first, second, and third source centers. You know, they're Trinity origin beings. Center sources. Okay? See? So, as long as you want to appreciate, see, this is the kind of stuff, I mean, they're trying to get you to notice, if you want to, how incredibly intricate all this is, all these coordinates where you have, one hand you have a center source, the other hand you have a source center, it's just all working together in this complex system.
This might seem like a dumb question. If it takes too long to answer, okay, we can do it next week.
Okay.
So the two reservoirs, the first source
will, yep,
and the third
source will. Yeah.
So what is referred to as second source, and where's the second?
There is no second source will.
Can we repeat the question?
Okay, so for those on the webinar, he's asking about, so you have this first source will and this third source will. What about second source will? I mean, the second source and center is, you know, the eternal Son. Okay, so, and he's definitely a source. It says he's a second source and center. But it also says that he can't bring a personality into existence all by himself. Okay. Because he's not a source of personality. Okay. So what is he a source of? Spirit. Yeah, it's tied to the spirit. He's the absolute spirit as a center, right? The anchor point of the whole spirit circuitry, you know, and the source of that spirit ministry. Okay, he's not literally the source of spirit substance. You know, the literal energy or substance of spirit comes out of what reservoir?
Spirit,
you said
that.
Yes.
A deity.
The deity absolute is a reservoir for the literal spirit substance. It's the reservoir of potential, and out of that potential you actualize spirit substance. It's not a big pool of spirit substance. It's a pool of potential, not actual. Okay, but out of that reservoir, you know, so it's the source for the spirit substance, the deity absolute, as a reservoir. But the source for, spirit, you know, pure spirit ministry, pure spirit activity is the second source center. Right. Yeah, and so, you know, that's an important thing to notice when you talk about the first and second and third sources and centers. In many ways, the two on the end are really complicated, and the one in the middle is a lot simpler. And that's because he is in the middle. If you start with the I am, the first thing you hit is the first source and center. If you look at it the other direction, if you start with the all are, you'll hit the infinite mother spirit. You'll hit the third source and center. If you come from the father direction, you hit the first source and center. If you come from the mother direction, you hit the third source and center. And those are the beginning points from the two different perspectives, and they're this complicated beginning thing. Then there's this beautiful, simple center between them. It's almost like you have two domains and a neck between them. It's almost like you've got an hourglass image. Right? Yeah. I mean, and you see that with the three circuits, paradise satellites, circuit of the Father, circuit of the Son, circuit of the Spirit. They show that. There's all kinds of complex things going on the infinite spirit's world. There's all kinds of complicated things going on in the Father's world. And then there's this very mysterious sort of linkage that, you know, no one knows much about, this connecting thing between the two of the Son's worlds. And it's almost like two incredible phenomena, you know, meet at that nexus point, and where the two energies meet, it radiates, because, you know, they tell you the Son's worlds are literally suns, S-U-N's, for the central universe. You know, it's like this flashpoint of linkage. It's a whole other way to think about the three sources and centers, or those three types of deity, that isn't so biased to the I am individuality side. If you start looking at it more universally, you start to see the three in a different light. All right. Well, that so those are the important ones. After this, this is a great place. It actually turned out to be a great place to stop. After this, we get into kind of all the associates and the details. But it's important to get these Supreme Center supervisors, because you can see they're very intimately linked to the directors. And that's the foundation of how this whole directing system is established, and then what happens now when it goes out into the super universe. That's what we'll pick up next time. All right, let's take a little moment here.